The car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered. Like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at carvana.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time to dominate the sportsbooks on Moneyline. Your best live odds on the MLB postseason.
On the seventh pitch, Harper.
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
Plus all the NFL and college football action you need before opening kickoff.
And steps into it, pass, it's caught! Diggs! Sideline! Touchdown! Unbelievable! Vikings win it!
Inch by inch, play by play, till we're finished.
With your host, Donnie Wrightside.
Last year, Kevin, in the National League, which is where you're looking at, you know who ended up in the NLCS? Yeah, the 5 and the 6.
And Kevin Walsh.
That is one of the most remarkable performances in a negative fashion that we've ever seen.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Let's not humble ourselves today like Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys got humbled last night on Sunday Night Football to the 49ers. It's Moneyline. It's the best hour of your day. It's Donnie and Kevin, Sirius XM Channel 159, and I think we should start there. The thing I like, I talked about this with Ben on the early line this morning, Kevin, and I got a joke out of this. I don't know if I've won a single sell yourself or, you know.
Sell me something?
Sell me something, exactly, yes, because what do you want to sell? Because usually the sell me something is, I'm supposed to sell myself something and the audience something that you don't really like, but you want to buy into it because here's why it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I love it because I lost again yesterday on Dak Prescott when I kept saying he has to play well for them to have a chance in this football game, which means over 250 yards or so, 2 touchdown passes to keep them in it. He was so bad last night. I mean, he was Daniel Jones bad yesterday in the biggest spot. And I don't know where Dallas goes from here. Now, before I throw it to you, Dallas is still going to make the playoffs. Dallas is still going to win 10 games. They're still going to come in second place in the NFC East. But when we're talking Dallas is back like Texas is back, yeah, come on now, Dallas. That's a joke.
I will say that some of the things you just said, I don't even have that level of confidence in. Let's go through the Cowboys' results, Donnie. The Jets, especially at the, about, you found the Jets at an absolute low point. And the Giants and the Patriots, look, like, hand up. I was as wrong as I've ever been when it came to the New England Patriots yesterday. I thought that they would beat the New Orleans Saints. If you would have told me, what was that final score there, Donnie? Something like 34-0, give or take?
Yes.
If you would have said that's the scoreline, I would have said, I'm not surprised. I told you this is what New England would do. It was the other direction. This is who the Cowboys have beaten. They've played two teams with a pulse, and one of them is the Cardinals, by the way. And that, superstar best defense in the league has looked bad. Not below average, not good. The defense has looked bad, which means it's on Dak, and Dak has been atrocious. A scared quarterback praying with every snap he doesn't throw a pick. Yesterday, he was dotting up San Francisco 49ers.
I mean, you could just see it yesterday. That crescendo building where the 49ers were so much better than the Cowboys, which, when we were talking yesterday, what did we all like on the show? Let's just take the over and don't worry about it. But you have to make a side pick on that as well. And we're like, oh, I guess I'll take Dallas because, you know, I think it's going to be a little bit closer, but we thought both teams would score. I just didn't think Dallas would be that completely inept on offense. Brock Purdy was very good. 4 touchdown passes yesterday. Automatic again. Just keep on taking every week. Run CMC. I saw your tweet. Like, it's funny I saw that because I get real tired on Sunday night. So I dip in and out, and I saw, like, you know, the notification pop up. It's like, take it 125. I'm like, he didn't even score yet, did he, at that point? So I was like, heck yeah. Next drive, I think he punched one in there, which made me give him a chuckle. Because if they are inside the five-yard line, it's his touchdown, and he gets it every single week. So George Kittle, welcome back to the show. And the fact that he is now in that mix, whoo, that offense is mojo and down the field, man. Looks good.
So I want to bring up one thing and then another fallout from the thing. But, you know, you have always talked about, Donnie, when the defense has said, hey, look, man, whatever you want, we know the game's over. Mm-hmm. Fred Warner and Nick Bosa are stood on the sideline cracking jokes while Dak Prescott is out there. Hand off to Tony Pollard, 7 yards. Screen pass to Tony Pollard, 26 yards. Mm-hmm. And then Dak throws one of the worst interceptions I've ever seen in my life. The 49ers sent out, you don't usually see that, Donnie, a full, like, oh no, here's our backup defense as well. Yes. That is what the Niners sent out there. And Dak, still seeing ghosts, throws an interception. Again, just an unfathomably horrible performance. But let me ask you about Brock Purdy, because I genuinely believe that the CMC MVP stuff did die last night, thankfully. He still scored every game, but it was the Brock Purdy show. 4 touchdown passes. I'm asking you, because I already have the bet, so of course I believe he can win the MVP award. Do you think Brock Purdy can win league MVP?
It's, I'm going to say no. And it's not because, like, Brock Purdy can't play, but I've explained it last week. He's not big. He's not fast. He's not strong. He doesn't have a cannon on his arm. And I think he gets downgraded because it's Kyle Shanahan's offense. That's an honest opinion.
I don't think any of that is inaccurate, Donnie. But this team is a favorite to have the best record in football. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And their starting quarterback, by the way, look, I don't know where I'd rank Brock Purdy amongst the best quarterbacks in football. I do know he's never lost a game in his career.
Yeah.
And we can't go, oh, well, come on. He's actively been better than Garoppolo, and it's inarguable, right? So we at least know, Donnie, he is an upgrade over the guys that came before him. If this team finishes, what's realistic, Donnie? 14-3? Maybe better. Best record in football. He goes out there, throws 30 touchdown passes and 4,000 yards. How is he not in that conversation?
He is going to be in the conversation, but I just the way I look at it, if he was 6'5", if he was, let's put it this way, same body of work, Justin Herbert on the 49ers, I'd be leading the charge with you right now. My God, Brock Purdy, he's going to win it. It's not even close. But again, it's unfair to say this because he's really good. But again, you have to have, I don't want to say Heisman moments where it's like, you know, you got to run through 6 guys on your way to the end zone. That catches your attention. But he's just so steady, and you expect it now. It's like, yeah, what? He threw a 22-yard pass over the middle, over 2 guys, and dropped it into a bucket. Yeah, that's just what he does. But when I look at like a Josh Allen, and it's not, again, it's not fair to Brock Purdy or a Patrick Mahomes. You see the type of, oh my goodness, plays. For me, Brock Purdy doesn't get that, and it's not his fault. It's not his fault that he throws a 15-yard out perfectly or a 7-yard slant and Debo takes it to the house, or he puts it exactly where the player needs it to be. It's almost like he gets downgraded just because he doesn't have the physical attributes of the other players. That's all. It's unfair, but that's just the way I see it.
I just wonder, though, who, because he's going to be there all year long. If you look right now, that top five, Donnie, is Brock, Hurts, Mahomes, Allen, and maybe I think fifth is Lamar, I want to say. Oh, no, Tua, excuse me. Tua is the other guy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, Tua is the same thing, right? Like, Tua is 3-1 after 3 weeks of football. I mean, Tua is the same exact thing. We know it, right? With Tyreek Hill and Mike McDaniel. So I think Brock Purdy is deep in this race right now.
Let me tell you, Jets, don't throw any more passes. Just hand the football off to Brees. That's it. That's all you have to do. I don't want to see any more passes. And also, let's rip Bill Belichick, the biggest fraud head coach in the history of the National Football League. Coming up next, right here on Moneyline on the Grid. Stay tuned.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back, I am yours.
changing it up. Ooh, is that what's going to happen in New England here? Hey, Kevin, hear me out on this. Well, they finally got an offensive coordinator this year. You know, Bill O'Brien's in town. Going to fix everything. The last couple weeks for the New England Patriots, I have no idea what's going on. And it's now turned into, and again, our good friend Dove Kleiman here with a tweet that says, you know, executives around the league rip Bill Belichick. This was always the issue with Bill Belichick. He had the single best football player to ever lace them up at the most the most important position in sports. Quarterback. Covered up for a lot. You didn't need wideouts. You just needed a really good tight end and 75 different running backs to roll through with an average offensive line, and you won football games because A, the AFC East was a joke for 20 straight years, and B, you had Tom Brady. Now we're looking at the Patriots, who struggle crossing midfield, kicking field goals, and even getting close to the end zone as they got blasted by an average football team at home in the Saints. The Saints looked like they were Super Bowl champions pounding away on New England. Back-to-back losses, the worst losses in the history of Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots franchise. I don't know where they go from here other than, all right, you know what? You know what? Over 20 yards rushing yesterday, which I appreciated. Ezekiel Elliott, right on pace for his average this year, and that's all I care about. Patriots, K-Dub, in the toilet.
Yeah, so the thing is, I still believe that Bill Belichick is a good coach. I do. Bill Belichick is now officially the worst general manager in football. Well, no. Second, he didn't give Daniel Jones that contract. We can get to that whenever you want. And that atrociousness.
Joe Schoen.
Bill Belichick. Donnie, look at the football team. I agree with you, right? Like, Tom is pretty much kind of an unimpeachable greatest of all time. But there was a lot of talent that came through those doors, right? Some people think Randy Moss is the best wide receiver of all time. Gronk, the best tight end of all time, right? The offensive lines were always, you could count on them being fantastic. You look at this pass-catching group, and this is, I think, the reason that Tom left. Belichick has been putting out outdated pass-catching groups for a long time. Juju Smith-Schuster is not a number one anymore and wasn't in Kansas City. Devontae Parker has been a failed experiment for years. That's where they're going. They let Jacoby Myers go. He looks like a star occasionally in Vegas whenever Garoppolo isn't throwing it to the other team. Compare their pass-catching room to the one in Miami. Okay, and I'm not trying to defend Mac Jones. I don't think Mac is great, but my point is, if I swapped Mac and Tua, the Patriots would not be better than the Dolphins, right? And even if I said, hey, you know, you can bring Mike McDaniel with Tua and send Belichick to Miami, I think Miami would be better. There's so much more talent over there, Donnie. But that's Belichick's fault. He's in charge of the talent. And, you know, remember the offseason where he spent about $100 million on Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith? Like, what is going on? What are you doing here? And that is the biggest issue in New England. And I'm upset about it because I have a season-long Mac Jones bet that has no business losing. He has two games of less than 150 yards, and he's still on pace to cash the season-long number that I bet for him. He might lose his job so they can give Bailey Zappi a month to look just as bad as Mac Jones does. And it's not Mac Jones' fault. It's just not.
No, because when you don't, one of the statistics was like yesterday, they had 39 yards after like the catch, which just goes to show you the level of talent that your wide receivers have. Look at yesterday, like A.J. Brown.
Average?
That's what I mean. Yes. Like Tyreek average, like for one play. It's like, hey, 39 yards, I'll get that myself. Or just, you know what I mean? Nobody can make a play on that offense. He doesn't have a strong enough arm to push the football downfield. And when they do, he does throw a very good pass.
Push it to
in
who?
The third quarter, did yesterday. Hit Montgomery in the hands, bounces right up for an interception there. It's like, man, it's just really, really bad. Like he can't. Sometimes it used to be like, hey, we're not even that fast. Just, you know what? First and 10, take a shot downfield. Throw 50 yards down there and see what happens. He can't even do that. He can't move out of the pocket when the pass rush is on. Nothing. It's just really, really bad for the Patriots. And I'm interested to see where they go from here because you can't go lower. But I don't just see like, an improvement. We're going to get to the playoffs. And this coming from me, Kevin, before the season. Talking about the Patriots saying, you know what? It's not their fault and they're such a tough division. I think they're going to hang around. They showed you in the Eagles game. Like, hey, look, they're getting busted early. They came back. Maybe there's some promise. They're injured and they stink. And now it looks like they don't have any talent, which is like the death note.
Yeah, the big thing, though, being the lack of talent. And that's where, like, so I do think there is, to some degree, like, Brady versus Bill was always this, like, argument of luxury and preference, right? Like, what a luxury that this is what we have to debate for New England. Is it their coach or their quarterback? They have both, who cares, right? And then it depends on who you wanted to give the credit to. It's not even a conversation anymore, right? When you break up kind of what's happened in New England since the departure of Tom Brady. But again, I do believe the biggest mistake that has been made by the New England Patriots are the Bill Belichick general manager decisions, even down to drafting Mac Jones. So that is where this football team is stuck, and that's why moving on from Belichick is likely their only option. Because you can't say, oh, we just got to get Bill some talent. But again, Bill is the one making those decisions. They're going to be one of the worst teams in the league, Donnie. The turnaround is not... If the turnaround was going to happen, they are at minimum competitive yesterday. To follow up the Cowboys game with that performance yesterday, I don't really know how you could sell me on a turned around New England Patriots season. Not when the Jets are all of a sudden going to show some life here, because we know they're nowhere near the Bills and the Dolphins in terms of the top of the class in the division.
Yeah, the Eagles are going to break the Jets in half, by the way, this weekend coming up. I had the Jets team total yesterday as my best bet of the day. Didn't really have all that much to do with actually the Jets offense. It was, all right, let me just have okay quarterback play. One of the worst defenses you're going to see. You also had Breece Hall coming back, you know, I couldn't say coming back, but finally back all the way with no, you know, restraints on his game. Boy, he was just smooth as could be yesterday. They easily hit that. But you watch the game and be like, I'm telling you right now, and maybe I should have said it sooner than that. Like, Zach, it's not so much, sometimes you get bad quarterback play, Kevin, and then sometimes you get quarterback play, it's like, I don't think he understands the position of quarterback and, like, what the job is. That's what you get out of Zach Wilson at this point now, because he's not a rookie, he's not a second-year guy, he's not like, hey, I didn't have a chance to learn under somebody or have a solid defense behind me or a couple playmakers. I saw so many plays just yesterday is that just encapsulate, this is why he can't be the future, and it doesn't matter what happens from here on out, which the reason I'm using this preamble is, the Eagles are going to bust them up this weekend. I don't know how many points the Jets are going to score. They're not going to beat the Eagles. Justin Jefferson is now down with an injured hamstring. They are 1-4. He's not coming back for weeks, Kevin. You know, I'm the doctor on this one yesterday. Oh, I just tweaked it. Yeah. We'll see what happens. Yeah, he's down. Which I always get a kick out of that. Hamstring, unless you snap it in half, which you know, which basically looks like you got shot by a sniper, like from 50 yards away, that means you tore it. Like you're running full speed, Kevin, you fell down, that you tore it. Like you can't even like bend your leg anymore. The fact that wide receiver's like, hey, man, yeah, I just, you know, tweaked it a little bit. Like, no, he's going to be down for a few weeks, which means you might be staring in the face of 1-5, 1-6, and 1-7. Trade deadline talk. Kirk Cousins should be on the move if you are the Minnesota Vikings. There's so many good quarterbacks next year that you can draft and get that restart going. Mm-hmm. He's going to make a ton of money. You move that money off. It's his final season. I'm wondering if somebody, like, who would be outside the Jets? Who would the move be for Kirk Cousins, though? Is it just a one-off?
This is the argument that you and I had 2 weeks ago. And you told me I was wrong. Maybe you're going to come back to my side. You said that the Jets can't do it because they're going to be over a barrel and they're going to have to give up 100 first-round picks. And I said to you, there's nobody else calling on Cousins. Donnie, the Jets, the Vikings should be lucky the Jets are in the situation that they are in, because there is nobody else that is calling for a franchise quarterback. We just talked about New England. Bill Belichick is not going to be given the grant. Say, hey, go trade for Kirk and we'll turn this season around. The only team that would call for him is the Jets. So the Vikings have a chance to get something, though.
I don't think they will. Even though if you're just looking on a one-off to say we might be able to get to the playoffs, that might be something a little bit different there. But as Lisi would say, they got Heineke, Kevin. All right, uh-huh. We'll be back. We'll talk about it right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All NFL certainly on the mind. A massive, I should say, day yesterday. But also, college football was big time on Saturday as well in the Red River rivalry. The Oklahoma Sooners close late and take down Texas, therefore taking control of the Big 12. It's only, and I say this right now, like I look at my clock and be like, you know what, or my watch, it's only a matter of time. USC is just playing with so much fire right now that I'm not so sure when they face a formidable opponent, they don't get put on blast. And I don't know if it's going to be Notre Dame, who quite frankly should be on a three-game losing streak. But having said that, there's still some other big-time games they're going to play in the Pac-12. Now, let's start there. I looked at the numbers, and you were getting, and also, mix in Georgia here, right? Your boy Carson Beck has a big game. They finally play, I guess, what's supposed to be a good opponent here, even though Kentucky played 16 straight Division III opponents. Yes, and they look like they were like, you know what? We're finally engaged. A couple straight weeks now, we're saying, man, Carson Beck really can't do this, and we can't win with him. Looks like they're going to be A-OK with him or anybody else. We covered the game this morning. Did you know Georgia had 10 different ball carriers and 12 different players catch a pass, which I thought was outright. I didn't even think it made sense at that point. Yeah. But that's what Georgia's doing. When you want to put about deep and busting a team and breaking their back on Saturday, that is exactly what Georgia did to Kentucky.
Yeah, what Georgia did was hold off, you know, what was going to end up being a changing spot at the top there, with Michigan housing Minnesota. I think we could have, you know, and again, it's the AP poll, but the outright market I think would have moved as well. Instead, you know, Georgia has their best performance of the season against their toughest opponent of the season, and it's what happens now is all of the unimpressive games from Georgia get chalked up to, oh, they didn't care. So they've now validated all of the underwhelming stuff, which I don't really fully agree with. But, you know, you bring up Oklahoma, DRS, and I know this isn't how this works, but they're 6-0, straight up and against the spread. So they've beaten all expectations. They beat a Texas team who has a great resume. Like, that Texas team is still, to me, very clearly one of the top eight in college football. You can make a very strong argument that Oklahoma should be the AP number one. But that's not how this goes. They receive zero first-place votes, yet there are still people out there voting for Ohio State. I have no idea who these people are. OU has been incredibly impressive, and this is coming from someone that actually picked them to make the college football playoff.
By the way, also, shout out to Big Ten. Have they started yet? Season started in the Big Ten?
Come on, I can't do this. You know what
I'm not
Ten
so
is?
Sure.
The Big Ten is what you've complained about the Pac-12 being. It's like, this is irrelevant. Let's drop this conference. No. No, the Pac-12's awesome, but they're going to beat up on each other, and we're not going to get those teams in the college football playoff. The Big Ten's terrible, and they're going to try and send three different teams to the playoff. I hate the Big Ten this season.
Yes. And the real issue I get to is, like, I look at Michigan, and I'm telling you, like, the way my mind thinks, I'm like, you know what? Let's penalize them this year. Every time they win, we're just going to drop them two or three spots. They'll be at 19 by the time they play. Kevin, their first real, and I say this by real, like competitive, it's not supposed to be like this in any conference, anywhere, any shape, or any time. Their first competitive game is supposed to be November 11th. And I say this by, like, if you have a fan base, you're excited about football, can you imagine, Kevin? I don't know, we're Eagles fans. They don't play anybody for, like, the first 3 months of the season. It's like, ooh, the first game the Eagles are going to play is December the 3rd or 5th or whatever it is, or the 49ers game. It's like, man, you get excited, but there's nothing to – where's our measuring stick? Where's our early season test? Where's our look-ahead game? And it feels like at the end of the season, like, legitimately, could they go back-to-back losses and be like, oh, man, we had a great season going. And they try to sell you on they only have two losses and they should be in the college football playoff? It's unbelievable, though. But I'm just so upset when I look at the Pac-12, who's actually going to – having their best overall season. When this is the season that DRS would back you as a real conference, it doesn't make any sense to back you because you're gone after the following season. Just one of those wild things. Let's get to the phone lines here real quick, K-Dub. We'll get right back to it. 844-843-6879. The Moose, he's here on a Monday. Let's go. Moneyline.
You bet. Not only am I online, but I'm in the kitchen, and I just pulled out a pie, and that pie is a humble pie. And, Kevin, you could not have been more right about the Buckeyes being number three. I totally agree with you, and I told you I'd call you back and discuss this a little bit. And they're lucky to have beaten Maryland. I totally agree with you on that. I tell you, a team that I am enjoying watching is Louisville. I enjoyed watching them just go up and down Notre Dame. That was a good game. Louisville's look like they may have a good team on board. But DRS, I listened to you this morning. I put together just a fun little two-leg parlay, little baseball, little NFL. I've got Devontae Adams to be the first touchdown scorer, and I combine that with Castellanos hitting a homer. So we'll see what happens.
There you go.
You know, just a little sprinkle. That's kind of a fun one to play. But other than that, you guys are great. I will see you guys on the weekend. You guys take care. Have a wonderful day.
There you Thanks, go. Moose checking in here, getting after it here. Now, go ahead. What were you saying on college football to finish your point up there with the Big Ten?
Well, no, I just again, like the Pac-12, USC, Donnie, won this weekend, and their title odds grew longer. So people agree with you. That's like, all right, we know this team is dead to rights. But again, you go through their schedule. I don't see any world in which they are not in the Pac-12 championship game. The people that think their schedule is difficult, I think they're looking at it the wrong way. Who cares if they play Notre Dame? Well, Notre Dame's not that good. I've been telling people that.
They're Three not. Straight weeks they should have L's.
I don't think that's fair, Donnie, because they shouldn't have lost to Ohio State. No, I'm being serious, though. Like, I get what you're saying about Duke, but you know what I mean? Like, that's the trade-off. They never should have lost to Ohio State. And, Donnie, imagine if that's the trade-off. Imagine they beat Ohio State but lost to Duke and Louisville. And yet somehow we're sitting here talking about Ohio State getting first place votes, top three odds to win a national championship. They've hit their team total once this season.
Yeah.
Once. Well, while Marvin Harrison Jr. is still proving he's the best wide receiver in college football. That team is no good, man. Not relative to expectations.
All right, let me get back. You want to have some fun yesterday? We call them like takeaways from like Sunday, like what you saw nationally, Kevin. Yeah, you know. Rams going to be all right. They're going to make the playoffs. Not the Eagles winning. Rams going to be all right. You know what? Stafford making some throws out there. Now Cooper Kupp's back. Watch out for the Rams. You know where I'm going with this. When the score doesn't dictate, if you watch that game all the way through, the Eagles might have had their best game of the season yesterday. They did whatever they wanted to. After they figured out, like, oh, hold on now. So Cooper Kupp is back? All right. In the second half, look, let's just make a quick adjustment here and shut this down. Outside of one deep shot, I believe, in the second half, they held him under wraps. Puka Nacua, he got his. And the Eagles just beat the brakes off the Rams defense on third down. And I said it so many times last week, Lasik. We all focus, including myself, so many times on what the Rams can do with Cooper Kupp back. But the Philadelphia Eagles are a bona fide machine on offense that is like a prize fighter, Kevin, that just ties you up and hits you with those little shots in the back of the head repeatedly and eventually wears you down. The tush push was so... me and my daughter watching the game, right? She comes down right before the half. I say, honey, get over here and sit on the couch and watch this because she knows about it. I said, it's one play, 2 seconds left. They're going to do the tush push right here. I want you to watch. The Rams were offsides across the board, basically touching helmets with the Eagles. And I swear to God, Jalen Hurts almost hit his head on the goalpost, which is how much push they got. It doesn't make sense. Like, Aaron, if there's any player, it's Aaron Donald supposed to be like, you know what? Defensive line, stand over to the left. I'm going to take on all five guys here and stop this play myself. And the Eagles just routinely, like, I don't know where the push comes from. It's obviously Kelsey and the two guards get it going. But the wedge forms like it's supposed to like point into like an arrow, right? The tackles point in and everybody's like that, huh, huh, and moves forward. But the fact that like there's a stalemate and then the entire pile goes backwards for 3 yards after the stalemate. It's so impressive to watch.
Yeah, no, what 1,000%. Again, I do appreciate all the people that keep complaining online about it. It's like, it's so bad that we have now actually gotten to the point where refs have said, you know what, fine. You're allowed to be offsides against the Eagles on this play.
Yes.
And it still doesn't matter. But to the overall point, Donnie, right? The Eagles go, they win, they cover, right? And the conversation last night, and I know the Niners won in a major way, right? And it's like, let me tell you, man, Niners clearly the best team in football. I'm getting texts from people yesterday. Well, we know the Chiefs are going to be there at the end. Are the Eagles just playing? Do they play their games on Peacock? What's going on here? Like, nobody will speak kindly or positively about them. I think we should hold off, by the way, on the man himself, so he gets his full,
yes,
and get his stuff.
He is going to get his full.
So, yeah. Like, and then, so the one thing you said to me, and it was kind of your response was kind of funny. But I told you, like, the under in the Eagles Rams game, and you're like, I don't know how it gets there, and it kind of stuck with me where I was like, you know, he's kind of right though, right? Like, there's a lot of explosiveness out there, but. Mm-hmm. Like, neither offense looked bad, and the game sailed under despite two touchdowns in the last 2 minutes of the first half, because the Eagles just are suffocating the life out of games right now. It's 13, incredible.
13, Kevin, third down conversions will kill your under. Because if you say, hey, man, we only have got the third down five times, like, well, either you stink or you just blazed up and down the field with ease. Yep. The Eagles repeatedly were getting in, like, third and two, first down. Third and one, tush push. Third and two, first down. It was hilarious to watch. And by the way, you know, the new way to bet football, if a superstar wide receiver is angry, don't worry about the number the next weekend. They will get theirs.
I don't even
we want to. We see it play out every week. And I know we're going right to Cincinnati because I don't understand this. Joe Burrow looked like he was fleet of foot. They were down wide receivers with a terrible offensive line. Could have confused it for the 1999 Rams at that point. He was open every single play by 10 yards. Amazing stuff here. When last week, I couldn't buy points for that team. We'll be right back. It's Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Never thought I'd see this in Major League Baseball either. Teams at the end of the season, when they have a chance to clinch their division and a top two seed, folding and forfeiting the final 2 weeks of the season just so they can play in the wild card round, apparently, is the best way to go. It's funny in that sense, right? Like, hey, we're the best team. We get a couple days off, fantastic. And in Major League Baseball might work against you, as it looks like it's working against the teams that were the better teams in Major League Baseball. But it comes down to you get healthy. You set your, like, take a look at the Phillies. We're going to get to the callers in just a second. Look at the Phillies and the Atlanta Braves, right? You line up in a five-game series, and the Phillies go, we can't even throw our good pitcher in the first game of the series. And the Braves go, that's cool. We might throw the best pitcher in the National League here, game number one. We'll take a quick 1-0 lead, and away we go. The Phillies smoke them 3-0 in game number one. Worst pitcher the Phillies are going to throw out there versus the best of the Braves. And they get shut out at home. They haven't got shut out all season long, all 81 games. They've scored a run. They take a couple days off, Kevin. They get shut out at home. It's tremendous to watch this play out.
Yeah, it is odd how that happened. The thing is, like, there's that some. So the American League stuff, though, to me, is explainable, right? Like, the Orioles pick, like, look at some of the people that the Orioles are starting. You know what I'm, like, of course, like, these guys are getting lit up. Pablo Lopez pitching a gem in Houston, Donnie, while Carlos Correa has heroics. Like, all that's normal. Like you said, Braves shut out for the first time all year. Clayton Kershaw has one of the worst starts in the history of the postseason. Well, now, what did I just watch? Like, it was an unbelievable day in the National League. And, two interesting bounce-back spots here. I've lost confidence in the Dodgers, not as much in the Braves.
Yeah, we'll see tonight. Those two teams are going to get after it here. And also, hot take, hockey should start after March Madness. So we'll get that out of the way. So that should be their season. April, May, June, 3 months, plenty for hockey here. Let's get to the phone lines here. Chris from Austin is calling in here on a Monday afternoon of Moneyline. What's up there, Chris?
Good afternoon, DRS, Mr. Watts. I had to call in, you know. Being a Longhorn and a Cowboy fan, you can't call in when the times are good. You got to call in when the times are bad, too, right?
That's true.
You got to eat some crow, Mr. Warren. And the baseball, hey, man, this is what happened with me the weekend. See, on the baseball, I didn't bet with any recency bias or favoritism. I bet the Twins yesterday. I bet the Rangers yesterday, right? But in football, I took the Longhorns. I took the Longhorns, little recency bias, and I bet with my heart with the Cowboys. I just thought for sure the Cowboys would keep it close, and that was so frustrating. So the Longhorns can beat Oklahoma. OU beat them. They beat them. They were out-coached, actually, and they were out-hustled. But when they play in their Big 12 rematch, I'm going to still take the Longhorns because I think they can beat them. The Cowboys look like the Patriots, Kevin. You were talking about you were disappointed. You talk about a Cowboy fan that was disappointed. Oh, my God. And if they put any more money into Dak Prescott, I don't know what I'm going to do because he's not even the best quarterback in the division. And what do the Cowboys do? What do they do? What do they do on offense? I can tell you what the Eagles do. They smash mouth, they run the football, and they beat you over the top with great receivers and great quarterbacking. I can tell you what the 49ers do. I can tell you what the Dolphins do. They're a speed team. They run a bunch of motion. They get you out of position, and then they outrun you. What do the Cowboys do? And Jerry Jones is at the – he is at the – you got to start at the top, man, because he won't hire a head coach. He likes players too much. Dak is a good guy. They shouldn't have never paid him. Never. I've been saying this for years. He is just a mobile Kirk Cousins, and now he's not even a mobile Kirk Cousins. He's just a statue. And then we're supposed to feel sorry for him, man. And McCarthy, they don't have any sort of offensive – identity. None. It was so disappointing. They ruined a perfect night. I had the Cowboys on a bunch of parlays at the end. Of course, I hit the Jets, the Eagles, the Lions, the Dolphins, the Texans plus 2.5. I hit all that. The under in New England, the under in Pittsburgh. Oh, that came through. It was the Cowboys. Betting with your heart. Don't do it. And recency bias, the Longhorns got that coach. Those four plays when it was 27-20, and his hubris that kept wanting to run the ball right up the middle. And then on fourth down, you run that play. It was disgusting. But anyway, I had to call in and let that out and vent a little bit. I was on with you guys the whole weekend. I love the show. Kev, DRS, you guys keep putting out winners, and I'm going to holler at you, man.
There you go. There you go, K-Dub. Getting it off your chest right there. That's what we do on Mondays. Your little armchair quarterback here, because I thought the Dallas Cowboys would be competitive in that football game. They certainly weren't competitive. One iota in that football game overall. But, you know, just to put the bed yesterday, there's two clear teams in the NFC, and they're going to play in December. Now, my question is, the Philadelphia Eagles play the Jets this week. I think they hammer the Jets. Do you know the next game after that is for the Philadelphia Eagles in the Kelly Greens? Miami Dolphins.
Ooh. Ooh.
That's going to set up a really good test at the link.
Let's
go. So you got the Dolphins at the link, and you also have the 49ers at the link. Going to be a lot of fun. And you know, it's funny, too, because I'm really looking forward to the 49ers game because there's still a lot of smoke from last year. Like, well, Brock Purdy plays, we roll over, and you know they got their butt whooped. And just it wasn't as if Brock Purdy came to the stadium, got in a minor fender bender and hurt his knee and couldn't play. The reason he got hurt is because the Philadelphia Eagles buried him in the pocket relentlessly. And if you're going to say, okay, Kyle Shanahan, I'm just going to block tight ends on elite pass rushers, that's what happens here. But I really want to see the Chiefs and the Eagles. Because I'm just looking at that game going, like, I guess maybe Kansas City will mess with their field, so it'll be slippery as all get out, and the Eagles can't rush the passer again. The little home field advantage there. But the reason I want to bring that up, too, is swing it over to the Kansas City Chiefs. Again, all they do is win. They win by 7 points. They go on the road in a game that we thought they would struggle, but it came down to almost what we thought, right? Hey, look, Kirk Cousins' chance to win a football game, one-score game. No, it's not happening this year. You're just not going to win any one-score games because you just can't execute. But it would have been nice to see Justin Jefferson play that entire game and put up yards so they can actually do something here. Him being down, the Vikings basically off the map at this point. But I'm interested here in what Kansas City seasons, because it feels like, I don't know if in the past it felt like this way, they got to work a lot harder for wins. Does it just feel that way or is it just me?
I don't disagree. I don't think the offense has been high-flying outside of the game against the Chicago Bears. We're seeing that. The defense is playing well, but there's aspects of that I don't fully believe in right now. And look, the Chiefs are obviously one of the best teams in football, but anybody that acts like the Chiefs are on a tier of their own or would be lying. And I think we have to, you know, evaluate the AFC, Donnie. It's supposed to be the greatest conference on God's green earth, right? Well, is it? I mean, there's no unbeaten teams left already. There's only two teams that don't have multiple losses in the conference. I mean, what are we really doing here, right? I'm not saying that there aren't good teams in it, but in terms of great, great football teams, they have maybe three. Maybe. They might have none.
It's true. It's a good point here. Which leads, again, is that a good segue for the Monday Night Football? I don't know, but that tells you we talk about Monday Night Football in basically the last segment, the end of it, as my love for this game and Jordan Love is just not there. Have to make a pick on this game. It was the Vegas Raiders for me, which actually they're favored by 2.5 now. It's only 1.5 this morning. I do like the under more than I do like the game itself, but I do think that we get an anytime touchdown here from Davante Adams. Outside of that, Phillies play tonight. I don't think I'm watching all that much, if any, as opposed to just flipping back and forth and catching that game tonight. Not really in love with betting it or even watching it tonight. Any thoughts on tonight's Monday night game?
So you're fully abstaining from an NFL game? Is that what I'm
hearing? Not abstaining. Well, the Phillies playoff game will be on basically 6 o'clock. I'll be winding down for bed anyway. Like last night, 49ers game, Kevin. I made it to, like, I don't know, 2 minutes into the second quarter before I was already down for the count. So it's not like I'm up late for these games anyway at that point. But this isn't one of those where it's like, hey, you know what? I got to circle the wagons and make sure I can at least watch until the game is out of hand. I have no appreciation for this game tonight. Zero.
I mean, I'm looking forward to it as somebody that is lightly invested in the Green Bay Packers futures. This is a game that they have to have. Because otherwise, then, you know, they are off the tier that I think they're in. Like, I think if you tiered the NFC right now, Donnie, Eagles, Niners, tier one, no tier two, and then tier three would be Dallas and the Detroit Lions. And then tier four is a lot of teams. Green Bay needs a win tonight to make sure that we still believe that they're inside that tier. And I think they certainly can get it. Garoppolo coming back off of the concussion is, you know, it's an interesting spot. But once again, Aaron Jones is injured. So we don't know what we're going to get out of him. A.J. Dillon's not looked very good. You got to imagine Christian Watson can really break out here. If he's fully healthy and there's no Aaron Jones, there should be a lot of Watson, I think, tonight for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, neither team has run the football effectively on the season. And both Jacobs of these teams looks like you can run the football against him. He's been really bad. Got a little bit extra cash. How's that paying for the... we'll see what Jonathan Taylor has to offer. But Jim Irsay, by the way, we didn't get a chance to... I'm glad I just stumbled on this because the way it happened here, we didn't have much time to be like, oh, look what happened here, because we didn't do any shows together as opposed to yesterday, which we weren't going to spend an hour talking about Jonathan Taylor. Moss is running absolutely wild, probably on pennies on the dollar. You just said all along, like, look, football goes on without running backs. They're a dime a dozen. We're not paying them. So, man, he really deserved it. He gets a big deal. It's interesting to watch it play out. We'll see how he fits in with the Colts and, the rest of the running backs and the quarterback if he ever can not get knocked out of a football game. We'll see where his career goes. But we look at Saquon Barkley. You know what? I'm not playing. I'm going to pay me. Injured right away. Comes to camp. They give him a little bit extra money. Jacobs, same story. Just not injured. Just not playing good football. It's pretty crazy to watch some of these running backs coming back after wanting or getting big contracts or getting what they wanted or at least appeasing them coming to camp. It's interesting to see the payday. But the whole Jim Irsay thing, and I joked yesterday on the show, like taking the pen out, like, look, sign it as fast as you can because he might rip it up before he even faxes it. Well, what am I doing here? I told you I didn't like you. I can't believe I'm sending this to you here. I don't know how you can be an actual coach on that football team or a GM, but thank goodness they said, you know what our backup quarterback should be? Gardner Minshew. Man, that dude is a good backup, man. Come in the game, no big deal. Let me just settle the tie, beat a division opponent again. Tremendous. Mm-hmm. Tremendous.
Yeah, I can't believe that game went under. That game had no business going under. It is what it is. But, Tennessee, Donnie, worst team in that division? Is that
I don't
unfair?
Think so. I don't think so. I don't, when it's all said
don't tell
done,
me
don't
it's the Houston
so.
Texans. Come on, that's a good football team.
I like the way Houston's doing. Yeah, it was a tough loss yesterday. But again, they did the ultimate. They did the important thing, though. If you didn't take a money line, just took them with the
points.
Loving that. It's funny when you're always in that situation. Like, you do the numbers in your head all game long. It's like, you know what? This could be perfect. Just don't give up that dumb big play where say, hey, defense, just let them score here. And the guy's dumb enough to run into the end zone. It's such a good feeling where there's no time on the clock. It's like we're basically like limited. Let me just kick this field goal to see where it goes. Yes, man. No matter what happens on this, I can't lose. I love that stuff.
The only thing that killed me in that Falcon game is I took a little, you know, you use a little profit boost on it on the live one. So just whatever with the Falcons game. And I ended up needing a 5 yards from Bijan, and I would have been able to get there. But they let Tyler Algier be the one to run it out instead of Bijan. I was like, I don't understand why these guys drafted these kids, man. Like, the Lions might tell Jahmyr Gibbs to request a trade with how good they looked without him yesterday.
I mean, Breece Hall, from the minute I saw him yesterday run a couple plays, like, he's going to break a long one. I didn't even have to watch Devon Achane to know he was going to bust one, and he did. There are some home run hitters in football today. We'll be right back to close it out on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Monday night football game tonight, Vegas versus Green Bay. The National League takes center stage tonight in Major League Baseball. 6:07 first pitch, Philadelphia and Atlanta. 9:07 first pitch, Arizona and Los Angeles. This morning, and I did, it was about plus 450 parlay. I did under 8 runs in the Phillies-Braves game. Nick Castellanos to get a base hit, and Max Fried to get over 4.5 strikeouts. Max Fried, very good pitcher. Zach Wheeler, very good pitcher. Castellanos, ridiculously good numbers against lefties. That's why I went with him. Phillies have a tendency to strike out, which they did quite a bit in game number one. I think in a playoff game that continues. Good bullpen, good starting pitcher. And also, I just think we have a carbon copy of that first game. I just don't see both of these offenses humming against both of these two pitchers to start, so I'll go under that. But also, I agree with the favorite here for the Dodgers tonight. I think they win tonight. Miller's a pretty good pitcher. The Arizona Diamondbacks lineup doesn't fare that great against right-handed pitching, at least over the past 30 days. So I do think, toss up in Phillies Braves, rooting for the Phillies. I do think the Dodgers win that game, but I do think also that under 8. Any thoughts on those two baseball games today for you?
Yeah, I do think Atlanta bounces back. I just think they're too good not to. Leaning actually towards the over in that game, though, sitting at 8 right now. Late night, I don't know. I initially bet the Dodgers, Donnie, to win the series in 3 games. So I obviously have already lost that bet. But now I'm wondering, am I overreacting, that I kind of am leaning more towards the Diamondbacks tonight? Because obviously I initially didn't think that. That series is kind of spinning my head a little, to be honest with you.
And Monday Night Football. I like Devontae Adams anytime touchdown is probably my favorite wager of the night tonight. Any thoughts on that Green Bay Packers and the Vegas Raiders for you?
Yeah, going to dive into it a little bit more right now, see what pops here. So we'll be on Game Time Decisions tonight starting 6 p.m. Eastern there, and we'll rip through the whole deal.
6 to 8. Don't be late tonight. Monday Night Football. By the way, Kevin will be live by the time the Phillies and the Braves take first pitch there. So baseball all the way through. Good stuff overall. Tomorrow, 3 games will be in Major League Baseball. Houston, Minnesota, Atlanta, Philadelphia, Dodgers, and the Diamondbacks. That'll do it for today's show of Moneyline on an Armchair Quarterback Monday. For Kevin, Donnie, and JP, we'll see you tomorrow.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered. Like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.